What's going on, everybody? Beast Child here, coming at you with TWHOP, the half hour of power. Today is Tuesday, so I'm going to be hitting on some of the bigger topics in the NFL in the Topics and Opinions show. It's pretty simple. I give you the topic, word of the two sides, my opinion, then break down what's going on. You get through a couple topics in the show, but before we can do that, we have to break down last night's Monday night game. Let's go! Well, who he gon' get and what he gon' do? I tell you this, we gon' give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Go ahead and send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com or add me on Skype, beastchild09. Or of course, add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So, let's get right into this week's Topics and Opinions show. Here we go. And the Bills and the Hustlers got me coming at you both in the VI while they bumping little child. I'm a rusher. It's a cyclone on twister from Chicago rolling with the Miami that I crush him. We already be looking for drama. If a nigga try to get into a witness, then we gotta get him. Feeling free from the torture that could never be true. I'm a villain selling. I'm telling you, trick up in the stillum. Got me swinging Chrissy and Hennessy bottles in the club. And my thug homies going for the thriller. Don't get it twisted with that overnight celebrity. You better be scared of me in my city. I'm a killer. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Season 1, Episode 61. Today is Tuesday, October 16th, the Week 6 Topics and Opinions show. I'm going to be hitting on the Monday night game that happened. In case you didn't hear, there was some football played last night between the Giants and the Falcons. I'll hit on that, give you everything you need to know about that game, and then I will talk about some of the other topics, taking more chances, coaches taking more risks. We're going to talk about all the young talent that's going on in the NFL and whatever we have time for. We'll get to that. So let's start off with the Monday night game. So it was the Falcons and the Giants. I picked the Giants in this game, as did everyone else in the TWHOP pick'em. And let's see who won. Morten Anderson kicked a 47-yard field goal on the opening drive of the game. It was an 8-play, 41-yard drive. That was that put the Falcons on the board first. Monty Toomer caught a 5-yard pass from Eli Manning about 5 minutes later, and that made the score 7-3. Jarius Norwood breaks free. The first play of the drive, Falcons get the ball back. He breaks free for a touchdown. It was right on that ensuing kickoff, or right after that ensuing kickoff. He gets the ball, handoff 67 yards later, peace. That would be the last scoring for the Atlanta Falcons. Reuben Jones gets a 1-yard touchdown. Second quarter, Plaxico Burress gets a 43-yard bomb. Nice little flick of the wrist by Eli Manning. No scoring in the third quarter. Then a Lawrence Times field goal and a Derek Ward touchdown makes the score 31-10 Giants victory. Now, a key stat here. Giants, 39, almost 40 minutes of possession. Falcons, 20. So, right there. I mean, the team has 20 more minutes of possession. The Giants, as I expected, also got 5 sacks. I mean, I didn't predict that exact number, but the only sack on the other side was John Abraham with 1. And the picture on NFL.com, the still of the video is Joey Harrington sitting on his butt watching. And that's pretty much sums up the game and the Falcons season at 1-5. The Atlanta Falcons still struggling. The Giants, 491 yards of total offense, almost 500 yards, and that was a nice day for them. They did have 3 turnovers, 2 Eli Manning interceptions, and there was also a fumble, I believe, and that was the, it didn't make too much of a difference because the Falcons couldn't get anything going on offense. Take a look at Jarius Norwood. He had 87 yards, right? 67 of those came on one run, so he broke free one time. So you subtract that, he got 20 yards total. Warwick Dunn, he got 15. Joe Harrington rushed one time for a yard. So there's nothing there. Joe Harrington did throw for 209 yards. I mean, that's not what you want. That's not what you want on Monday Night Football when you're playing against a team with a tough D-line and a young secondary. Roddy White caught 64 of those yards. Jerry Snorwood got 51. And that was pretty much it. D'Angelo Hall did have an interception on an Eli Manning pick. That was what gave the Falcons those points. But, you know, that's it. Giants win, Falcons lose. And I wasn't nervous at all. The fourth quarter, Giants were just running the ball, just juicing the clock, and that was it. So that is the final score, once again, 31-10. And so on the weekend, that puts the, let's hit the TWHOP leaderboard, see how everyone's doing. At the bottom is the coin flip, just one game above 500, not looking too good. And that the coin flip is at 45-44 in sixth place. Hobbs, he went 8-5 this weekend, 48-41. Max and Ricky C tied for fourth place, 51-38. Ice Campbell at third place, 53-36, one game behind me and Lappy Time. Lappy Time and I, however you prefer. I went 7-6. Lappy Time went 8-5, and we are tied at first place, 54-35, 60.7%. on the season. So pretty good, I guess you could say. There were a lot of upsets this week. This was probably my worst week of picks, you know, during the week, other than not including the playoffs, but it's probably my worst regular season week of picks of all time. But let's talk about coaches taking more risks. Okay, here's what I'm talking about. Onside kicks, 1. 2-point conversions, 2. And risks in general, but going forward on fourth down, there's a few ways you could do this. Is, you know, just straight out leaving your offense on the field and going for it, maybe 4th-1, 4th-2, maybe even 4th-5 or something, just going for it. And also on fakes, fake field goals, fake punts, see that a lot in college football. And that's something that the NFL coaches and players and teams could really benefit from. You take a look at the Tennessee Titans. They had a fake punt. I believe it went for 49 yards last week. It was a nice thing. They had a punt formation. They snap it to the fullback. So on the punt formation, let me just describe this for you. You got 5 down linemen, two tight end type things on each side. You have the wide receiver, you have the cornerbacks split far to the right. Then you have a fullback closer to the punter on the right, and a little bit just behind, let's say, the left tackle is like a running back. So they snap it directly to the fullback. He runs left, tosses it to the running back as he's running right, kind of like a mini wide receiver reverse, you know, kind of like a mini form of that. He flicks it, and Avion Kayson goes 49 yards, and that was the longest run of the day for them during that game. And that was a huge boost, I mean, 49 yards. But you can't really expect to get that on every play. You might get a home run every once in a while like that. But I'm just saying, you go for it, and every once in a while, you're gonna hit gold. Okay, and what about fake field goals? We saw, I'm going to bring up college football here. LSU, perfectly executed fake field goal. I had that on the website for a while, but I had to take it off because Google Pages redid their editing way, so I had to reset a lot of the stuff on the website, but you can still check it out, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. So anyway, LSU, they have the field goal set up, right? Holder. He'd get the ball, put it down, the kicker would kick it, but he gets it, pretends like he's going to put it down. Meanwhile, the kicker, Colt David, is running behind him, so the kicker is running to his right, he's a right-footed kicker, running to his right, and the holder, which is the backup quarterback in this case, not even looking, flicks it over his shoulder, kicker catches it in stride, and he goes for the touchdown. Now, once again, I mean, this is another case where it ended up perfectly, but, I mean, if I want to give you an example of something where it didn't work, you can take a look at Robbie Gould trying to attempt a 20 or 30-yard pass. That's the kicker's, the Chicago Bears kicker, excuse me. So, basically, the Bears lineup. Robbie Gould, his longest of his career is a 49. He's about to attempt a 53, and Levy Smith just not showing confidence in his kicker. They line up in the field goal position. Center snaps it directly to the kicker. He rolls right and tries to throw like a 25-yard pass on the run to a tight end who's in double coverage. Now, let's be honest. That's not going to work. You have to think of something realistic, okay? You can't ask a kicker to throw a ball on the run you know, perfectly accurate so that his tight end catches it, and that happens. So, and kickers, if you take a look at what has happened this year, kickers are under, well, normally they are, but this year it's been even worse as far as kicking percentage. Beyond 50 yards, they make it half the time. So that's not too good. And you could always try the Bill Belichick, you know, snap it directly to the kicker and then, you know, just a pooch punt. But you could see, especially like 4th and 3, 4th and 2, whatever, you could try these kind of gadget plays, if I may. Here are the stats. Okay. So here I have all the kickers in front of me. Now, Matt Stover leads the league in field goals made. And he's not even 100%. He's hit 86%. But Chris Brown has 94%. He's hit 3 for 3 from 50 yards or longer. So that is really good. And Jay Feely is 100%. And so is Jeff Reed. Those are the only two kickers. And Josh Scobie, who's hit 1. But Jeff Reed and Jay Feely are the only two kickers in the NFL that are still at 100%. 12 for 12 and 9 for 9. So two guys in the team of 32 teams, let's say 33 kickers, let's just throw that in there, 33 kickers, and two of them are this. So you can see that field goal kicking percentage is down. Let's take a look at 50 yards and beyond. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 kickers are 100%, and they've all hit 1 out of 1 field goals. Kickers that I've tried more than one, only Chris Brown, kicker for the Houston Texans, who hit all 3 in, not this past weekend, but last weekend's games. He hit 3, and that was just a ridiculous performance. And, so yeah, that's that. Try more field, you can try trick plays, but if you take a look at kickers, right? Let's say, I mean, I don't even know, I'm gonna probably get this number way off, but how many hours do teams practice per week? I don't know, I really don't know that much. I'm gonna go off on a limb and say something like 12. No, let's just take 12 as a standard, as a benchmark, okay? Now, are kickers really gonna be kicking for 12 hours straight? No. Now, let's say they kick for 5 hours. You know, even that's a stretch. So, they probably kick a lot. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from kickers, but a lot of the times, these kickers, just practicing gadget plays. I heard this on a couple of radio shows, actually, when people have brought this up, and especially John Madden saying that a kicker will just, you know, he'll be doing his thing, and then he'll come up, him and the holder in the center will come up with a trick play, and they'll be like, oh, coach, come see this. And that could really work out. I mean, they spend that much time doing it. You might as well try it maybe once a game, you know, or once or twice a week, every 2 weeks. You know, I mean, there isn't too much downside in that, especially if you're already in their territory, and especially if you have a kicker that you're not so that you can't rely on too much. Matt Stover, obviously, he's a veteran, and he's not going to be able to do too much other than kick the ball. But he's someone that you're not going to feel afraid of putting out on there and asking him to kick a 45-yarder to win the game. So, you know, that's just something that coaches might want to take into consideration. And the other one, 2-point conversions and 4th downs. Okay. So, 2-point conversions, let's start off with that. I know, obviously, in the video game in Madden, I go for 2, maybe about, I'm going to say 30% of the time, but that's a video game, let's be honest. Let's talk about real life. You're 2 yards away. So, basically, for every yard, you get a point. If you can gain 2 yards on a given play, then you get an extra point, okay? It's really, especially with teams, take a look at, okay, let's take the extremes, the Patriots, right? Tom Brady. I'm gonna see what his red zone percentage is. Hold on, I'm bringing it up right now. Okay, I have the Patriots and Tom Brady. Okay, Tom Brady completes over 75% of his passes anywhere on the field, right? And so, you know, some say in the red zone it's harder to complete passes. You have a shorter field to work with. Okay, whatever. But against the Cowboys this past weekend in the red zone, they went 4 for 5, and on goal to goal they went 3 for 4. Right? Okay, so. And we know that Tom Brady, he threw 5 touchdown passes, okay. And plus, you have running backs that will get the job done. And so that, right there, you're going to, 4 out of 5 times, or 3 out of 4 times, you're going to make it if you go for 2, being the New England Patriots. And plus, another thing, you know, you throw your offense out there, the defense doesn't know what's going on, maybe they call timeout. This is something that happened last year in the playoffs, and I think Brian Billick is a genius for it. Brian Billick, not Belichick. Not to get confused with the Patriots, I'm talking about the Ravens coach right now. So, it's 4th down, they're playing against the Colts, right? This is the divisional playoffs. 3rd down, and what is it, 3rd down and 4 or something? Let's just say 3rd and 4. McNair drops back, throws an incomplete pass. Okay, now, one would think you send the punt team out on the field, punt it, you're at about midfield, but he pulls the offense back off the field, and then he sends them right back on. And what does the Colts defense do? Oh my God, they're already ready to receive the punt, and they're all out of position. So Tony Dungy calls timeout, right? And Ravens send your punt team back out on, and they punt the ball. They just got a free timeout. Isn't that beautiful? Wouldn't that work? You know, it's 4th and 2. Pull your offense out. Send them right back on. You know, worst case scenario, if the defense is ready for some reason, you go for it. It's 2 yards, you know? I mean, unless you're inside your own 30, then that would be stupid, but you go for it and you hand it off, whatever. Or they call timeout and then you send your punt team out, or then you have time to think about what you really want to do. And here's another thing. Dallas Cowboys. I took a look at the New England Patriots, right? They won the game, obviously. I'm talking about the duel in Dallas. 48-27, the final score. And 4th down efficiency, 2 for 2, 100%, and Dallas, 0 for 0. They didn't even go for it. Isn't that weird that the team that won went for it 2 times on 4th down, and the team that you'd think might have to? Now, one might say, oh, Beastchild, come on. I mean, they didn't get to a point where they had to go for it on 4th down, but you don't have to wait for a point where you have to. I mean, you could just go for it. Now, okay, some of you guys are saying, okay, this is dumb. Why are we even talking about this? You're not going to go for it on 4th down. Okay, if you're not going to do it, if you're just a coach that says run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, punt, 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 game of field position, okay, defense wins championships. Okay, I understand that, whatever. You don't have to take risks. But here's one that everyone might even consider. The onside kick. Saw this a couple of years ago with Tennessee, and I thought they were geniuses for it, and I thought that, you know, I mean, this isn't something that would go into play in a video game or in anything I'd ever be involved with, because it's not that high level, but you'll see what I mean. Okay, Tennessee comes out week 1, onside kick to start the year off, right? So then the other team's like, oh my God, and regardless of even whether they get it, it's like you throw a deep pass, you're going to stretch the defense, even if it's incomplete. If you get it, it's all the more effective, but here's what happens, right? I don't even remember if it was successful or not. That's not the point. Then, later in the game, they try it again. And let's say they get it the second time, and they didn't get it the first time. Okay, now the other team is always going to be thinking, in the back of their head, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Oh my God. So you've always have that little prevent. You put that extra guy or two up there. Then, I saw it on Monday night, like, what is it, it was week 3 or 4, and this is 3 or 4 years ago, and the Titans are ready to kick off in the beginning of the game, and the other team, I think it was the Cowboys or something, has like 3 or 4 guys, you know, for the prevent for the onside kick. All Tennessee has to do is put an extra guy over there, you know, just to fake him out, and then he just launches the kick down there, and boom, field position on every kickoff. That's something you might want to think about doing with the Chicago Bears and Devin Hester. Now, granted, Devin Hester's a beast. He can take it back if you put 20 guys on the field, but you try maybe an onside kick to start off the game. One might not be enough for Lovie Smith, but who knows? I mean, first of all, you have a chance of getting the ball. That's probably not the reason you do it, but then, you know, they put an extra guy out there. Devin Hester does have the blocking that he might need, and he's not the guy that's going to break 4 tackles and take it to the house. He needs a lane, and if he has any small gap to run through, he'll get there in, you know, at light speed. But that's the key. So, taking chances. What did I hit on? 2-point conversions, yeah. And, okay, another thing about 2-point conversions. Okay, I talked about the Patriots. Now, obviously, they're the best team. One might say, okay, well, anybody can do it with the Patriots. So let's go to the worst team in the league. I think it's consensus that the Dolphins would be there. Maybe the Rams. But the Rams have injury problems, let's be honest. It's the Dolphins. Let's go to the Dolphins. 2-yard line. You got Ronnie Brown. Pretty big running back. We've seen that he can be a threat because we've seen him get 200 all-purpose yards. We've seen that he can do that. And you have a wide receiver in Chris Chambers that, I mean, regardless of what you think of how he plays on the field, injuries, I don't care. The guy is a beast. Let me get his exact height, weight, and all that stuff. Okay, he's 5'11", 210. Okay, so he's not as big as I thought, but he has, like, hops more. Like, he can compete up there with Flacco Burst, Randy Moss for hops in the NFL, maybe Brandon Lloyd. But, I mean, that guy can jump, okay? I was wrong about his height. I thought he was bigger, but 5'11". Okay, and I don't know your quarterback, Cleo Lemon. It's not, obviously not Trent Green anymore. Who's the other guy? John Beck. It doesn't matter. You know, if you have a guy, you can pretty much just throw it up there. 2 yards. Dolphins, a team that can use that extra point in the game, because, you know, not like they're going to come down to it, but what? They lost to the Texans by 3 points. You know, maybe you get a field goal range, you can win the game with a field goal instead of tie and end up losing in overtime. And another thing, obviously, just the actual points, is the boost that you get, the morale boost. You know, it's kind of a double whammy. You know, obviously you get the physical points. It's like doing your homework, right? You're gonna get the physical points for it, the grade. But in the end, when it comes to the test, you've seen it a bunch of times, you're going to do better on the test. It's the same idea here. You know, I mean, they're going to get a bit of a morale boost. Maybe the other team feels like, oh my god, we got tricked there. And the other team kind of goes down a little bit. And you're in a competition, so any edge you can get will help. So the Dolphins, you know, any team can do that. And obviously, you're going to find, somebody's going to look for little clinks and dunks there. That they're going to say, oh, well, this team can't do it, this team can't do it. Whatever, it's 2 yards. If you can get like a play action or them to bite on a fake or anything. Mike Nolan did a wide receiver reverse on the goal line Monday Night Football to open the season. That guy, my lord, he has balls, man. I mean, he just straight up called it. Arnaz Battle on the outside, touchdown. They win the game in overtime at home, and that was beastly. Not in overtime, excuse me, in the fourth quarter. And they win the game at home, and that was beastly call. And, you know, I mean, you don't have to go that far, but you can get a little fullback fake and just pitch it to the outside and get that thing going. But that is straight up, I mean, that's ridiculous. And they're beasts. So, yeah. So, yeah, just take more chances, coaches, if you want to. If not, you know, continue to lose games, and, you know, that's your deal. In no way am I criticizing the teams that are winning, you know, Patriots, Colts, whatever. Do what you have to do, but those teams that are looking, those teams like the Panthers, the Lions, the Redskins, Packers, not Packers anymore, but the middle of the road teams, you know, that's something that you might get a boost from. So, let's go to the next thing. I didn't really have a nice little, too much of a segue, but I want to talk about young talent in the NFL. These past two drafts have generated such good talent. You know, let me give you some names. Vince Young, ever heard of him? Adrian Peterson, Mario Williams, Reggie Bush, Marshawn Lynch, Lindell White, Patrick Willis, Jay Cutler, Devin Hester, D'Amico Ryan's the rookie of the year last year, Calvin Johnson, you know, there's so many. Leon Washington now emerging as a nice little kicker turner. Yamon Figures for the Ravens, a nice kicker turner. Brady Quinn we haven't even seen yet. I'm just going down these teams, just looking at who they drafted. And Cadillac Williams, Aaron Ross for the Giants had a couple picks and even a touchdown last week against the Jets. Reggie Bush, I already talked about Reggie Bush. I'm going to talk about him along with Adrian Peterson in a second, but I heard of Vernon Davis and Marquez Colston, Maurice Jones-Drew as well, Ted Ginn Jr., Dwayne Bowe, you know, I mean, all over the place. Every team has got something to offer. Take a look at Adrian Peterson. I mean, the guy is leading the league in rushing. He has, what, 607 yards. Behind him, LT, Ronnie Brown, Willis McGahee, and Edgerrin James. And, you know, I mean, that's crazy. Straight up. Adrian Peterson, a rookie, leading the league. That is an NFL record for a player in their first 6 games. He has the most. And another record, Tom Brady, the most passing touchdowns in the first 6 games with 21. By the way, Tom Brady is on his way to breaking Peyton Manning's 49 touchdowns in a season. That was in, what, 2003, 2004, I think. 2004, that was it. And so Tom Brady is well on his way to breaking that record. He would have 52 or 53 at the rate that he's going right now. And so that's that. And so back to these guys. Paul Posluszny out for the season. He was going to be a beast at linebacker, but Patrick Willis right now, I don't know. He's competing with Adrian Peterson for Rookie of the Year. Obviously, Rookie of the Year broken into offensive and defensive, but there is one overall guy. I see Patrick Willis winning the defensive one. We didn't see him this week. They were on bye. And Adrian Peterson, I mean, the way he's playing, how can you not give it to him? He leads the league in rushing. The guy who I picked, Calvin Johnson, in the beginning of the season, he is he's not here. And so, yeah, Vernon Davis having some injury troubles, Vince Young having some injury troubles, but you take a look at these guys. Maurice Jones-Drew finally broke free. It was about this time last year that he broke free as well, and so pretty much in fantasy football, you can just wait, just don't draft a third running back, or don't draft a second running back, whatever. Wait until week 5 and just trade for Maurice Jones-Drew, and you'll be fine. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've seen this much talent come out of these drafts in this long. This much talent coming at one time. The Bengals had a beast of a draft where they took Rudy Johnson, Chad Johnson, Hushman Zada all in one draft. The Ravens had a draft where they took Jonathan Eigen, Ray Lewis, and there was one other guy. I don't think it was Ed Reed. It was one more leader of that team. And yeah, so anyway, so that was that. And it's pretty amazing what these rookies are coming in. Nick Folk as a kicker. Hey, I mean, he is a kicker, but he may be the next Adam Vinatieri. You know, I don't know if he'll be kicking Super Bowl-winning touchdowns with the Cowboys right now, but he is well on his way to becoming a very good kicker in this league. And so that's that, you know. And I just want to, really quickly, on the Patriots, this team, oh my lord, wait a couple weeks, it'll be the first week of November, just wait for that game, Patriots-Colts. We'll see who truly is. I've seen both sides taken after this weekend. I don't know that you can really say the Colts are the best team in the NFL. I mean, they were on bye. You can't really decrease them if you had them at number one. But the Patriots, this may be the best offense we've ever seen in the NFL. And people are refraining from saying that, but who's better than them? People will say Montana and Rice. Okay, well, surely Rice probably better than Randy Moss, but who else does he have? He's got Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth, Jabbar Gaffney can get in there sometimes, you know? The tight end? Benjamin Watson decided to show up to the games. That's nice of him. And they have been doing all this without their running back, Lawrence Maroney. Last week, without Sammy Morris, I mean, they're playing with Kevin Falk, Sam Echol, a guy that they picked up from the Navy, and the Patriots are just beasts. With this defense, I mean, it didn't play too well yesterday, but that was against what was the number two offense in the league, and if they pick it up, this could be the best team of all time. 16-0, I don't know, I'll look into that after they take on the Colts, but you know, I mean, it is not out of reach for this team, I'll tell you that right now. As for the Ravens, well, they're going to win the Super Bowl, we know that. So, if the Patriots do go 16-0, hope they enjoy it, because Ravens are going all the way. You can probably guess what my favorite team is, and I'm going to see him Thanksgiving weekend, boys. I am going to Baltimore to watch my Baltimore Ravens. So, I hope you've enjoyed this. I have been Beastchild, and yes, the time is up. See you tomorrow. Peace! And so with that, I'd like to thank you for listening to THOP, the half hour of power. I have been Beastchild, your host, and if you want to get in contact with me, if you want to holler at your boy, if I may, you can go ahead and send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can add me on Skype, beastchild09. If you have a MySpace, go ahead, add the show, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power, or of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.com/GooglePages.com. Thanks again for listening. This has been a Beastchild Media production for 2007. Peace out! thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com.